So we want to welcome those that are on the internet wondering if we ever talk and pray about them. I want to honor the Lord for releasing some new words on the website and looking to the Lord to bless those that call on Him to release a word in their hearts in due season. Father, I pray that the words that will come forth out of my heart today will shatter the enemy and will overwhelm him. And Lord Jesus, I ask that these words would be of you and only of you. In Jesus' name. I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 42. That's what I heard this morning, and that's where I'd like to take you. Isaiah is releasing words to break open new areas of revelation, and I pray that this will help to give you insight that nothing happens by accident. Verse 1 says, "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out." That's the heart of Jesus, filled with the compassion of the Father. A bruised reed, meaning a person who is very swishy and very wiggly in its abilities, where the wind blows it left and right, forward and backward, and falls consistently. And it's bruised, it's got brokenness on it. That was my heart. There was nothing stable in me. I would shift whatever I had to just to be accepted. I could not handle any more rejection. That was the Jacob in me. Anybody relate? If you can relate, put your hand up, because you need to know that God has a plan for these broken reeds. It's not rejection. Now, sometimes we perceive it to be rejection, but God says no. A smoldering wick he will not snuff out, meaning that they are so weak that they're barely able to give out just a little tiny bit of light. And I've been there, where I just didn't want to live anymore. And the weaknesses in me were so overemphasized by the enemy, making me look hopeless to myself. Any little tiny amens out there? Come on. Okay, see, if you relate to what this is, then you'll begin to understand the promise of the Father. What is the promise of the Father? Is he going to slap you around and bury you when you're half buried already? He will reach out. And he and I have learned that lesson, that sometimes people give up on the believer that is falling apart. And he feels like a smoldering wick. All he's giving out is soot. All right. Have you ever seen one of the believers going out and giving out soot? I have. What do? We pull back. Because you know what? When they're giving out soot, can you get close to them?
No.
You're going to choke. You're going to have to wait from the sidelines. And you're going to have to keep interceding that the oil of the Holy Ghost will continue to go in. A little bit at a time, not to choke it. Because if too much oil comes in, what happens? The wick gets burnt. It just literally snuffs out. God's word says he will not snuff out that smoldering wick. He says in faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. In faithfulness, meaning he's not going to rush on the case. But my flesh wants it done yesterday. The day before would have been awesome. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice in this earth. Till he establishes justice where? It starts inside of me. It starts for me seeing myself from God's perspective. It's starting to be a little more light inside when I can see a little more of Jesus' heart inside of me. And I can see the compassion rise up instead of the anger that used to rise up. Amen. Amen? It doesn't take me quite so long now to recover when I'm in a real terrible situation and I'm seeing all that anger that used to just flow out of me, just kind of, it tries, you know, it just kind of comes and, wait a minute, I'm not buying this lie anymore. I'm pulling down that stronghold. I am not going to have these mindsets rule over me today. So Satan, bug off! And then more of the grace of my Father flows in. More of that living oil keeps me running. And I get through the day in spite of the enemy. And words of life come out of my mouth because of his promises and his revelation to my heart. I'm pointing to Elaine because Elaine tasted last week and she got words of knowledge ahead of schedule. And she used them all week and survived. See, she didn't speak to the body, but I'm telling on you. I'm tattling that you survived because of the revelation of God. Amen?
Amen.
So, watch. In his law, the islands will put their hope. At one time, that didn't mean a thing to me. Until one day, the Lord began to show me in the Word that many times when he speaks of the island, he's speaking of North America and South America. Did you know that? I didn't know that for years, that actually, all of North America is surrounded by water, and all of South America is surrounded by water. We drifted away from the original continent, and you can see the outline. Amen? And there are many other small islands, but the bottom line is, we Americans are giving out more of the Word of God throughout the earth than any other nation in the world. Why do you think we're being oppressed and irritated by the enemy? Because we're standing. I heard President Bush say thank you to the saints for praying for him on television this week. Don't stop. Keep praying for Tuesday's election, that the Holy Ghost will have his way with every saint. Does that mean that every pastor is perfect?
No.
Does that mean that they fail and that the enemy will expose them? Yes. He loves to expose them. And whatever they've done wrong, God is able to take that smoldering wick and lift it back up.
Amen.
So don't be underestimating how much pressure is on any man or woman in a pulpit, because nobody knows unless you've walked it. And don't judge and condemn or find fault. Release grace and mercy. Intercede for them in the Spirit, because they need it, and so do I. Now, I want you to go with me on a little short little journey. It says, he establishes justice in the earth, correct? Universal. All of the earth is to taste of the goodness of God. I'm going to take you a little bit on a ride to Matthew 24. So you can kind of keep a marker in that place because we're probably going to go back there. Matthew 24. But I want you to keep Isaiah 42 out of sidelines because you're going to go back. Okay? Matthew 24, verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations," with an S, "and then the end will come." These are the words of the Lord. He says, all nations, not some. Matthew 24, 14. Now Matthew 28, 19. So a few pages over, you're going to see something else. Matthew 28, 19 says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Again, a commission to give out. Not to just hold it for yourself, to give it out. Now I'm going to take you to Mark chapter 13, verse 10. Mark chapter 13, verse 10 says, "And the gospel must first be preached to all nations before anything else can happen. Any more time can elapse. The preaching of the word has to come to the nations." Mark 16, verse 15 says, "He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." I like that. You know why? Because some people think the animal kingdom is A-OK, and it's not. It's suffering. So there are times that you need to speak. You need to speak and pray over your animals. Even the animals in your neighborhood. Yeah. I remember one time I was walking on a sidewalk. And there was this dog tied to a chain and, you know, a post. And I felt bad for him because I love animals. And I heard the Lord say, "Intercede for that pooch in the spirit." And I said, "Huh? Pray for a dog?" And I could see that as I kind of pulled back, you know, when you're kind of listening to the Lord and your feet are still going, but you're kind of arguing with yourself. Anybody got to that place? So anyway, I finally stopped and I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" So I'm standing, and praise God there's a fence, because by this time I'm irritating the dog and his teeth are showing. And I began, praise God, there was, hopefully nobody else was listening, but there were angels on the job. I'm sure I looked a little weird. And I began, and he went, and as I continued, I found myself getting sweeter. The fear was losing its power inside of me because I was fearful of being watched. Fearful of being examined by the neighbors. Fear of being reported that I might be interfering in that pooch's life. And I was. So I continued, and I prayed a little more in the spirit. And I heard in my heart, "Open your hand to him and watch what happens." And as I opened my hand, the dog began to change its course. And instead of the teeth, you know how they start wagging their tail, and you know the ears change position. And you know what? The nature of the dog was changed. Was I preaching to the nations, or was I preaching to the creation? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with me? Why can't we preach to his creation? All creation is waiting for the sons of God. Who are the sons of God? They're the ones that listen to the Father. Practice. Get ready to pray for the little animals, whatever they may be, however old they may be. It doesn't matter how big they are, how small they are. They're waiting for you. Yoo-hoo! Did you get a clue? They're waiting for who?
Me.
Me. Why would the Lord say, pray for all creation? Release the gospel. What is the gospel? Hey, Pooch, it's not the end of the world today. You're going to make it, and so will I. And you're on that side of the fence, and I'm on this side. But we're going to love each other in spite of how fearful you are and how angry you might try to make yourself look to me so that I won't approach you because you're really afraid.
Amen.
You know, some pooches have more wisdom than some people. They know they're afraid, but they're putting on a mask. Amen?
Amen?
And they wear that mask so well. Don't approach me because I'm not lovely. I'm not lovable, and I am just going to keep everybody away from me because I'm going to protect my heart today. I should have heard a big, loud amen.
Amen.
Well, isn't that what we do? Did we learn it from the pooch? Your battle is not against flesh and blood. Those negative forces are after the animal kingdom just like they're after every single one of God's creation. They want the enemy to have freedom in their lives and in their territory, and they want destruction for God's best creation, which is man himself. But Jesus came to set what? Amen. And so when we speak words of life to these little creations, it's an example of our presence changing the world. Our world. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. Gee, I'm getting through to some people today. Praise God. Luke 24, verse 47. This one is very important, so you better take a good look. Luke 24, verse 47. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance and forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of injury. Repentance is changing your mind about how you think about those who have injured you. That's what real repentance is. Starting at Jerusalem and spreading out. I remember one time the Lord showing me just the activities of one man. His name was Saul. He was an irritation to the church. They couldn't stand his guts. They could not stand what he was doing because he was a fanatic for God. You know anybody who's a fanatic for God and protecting their God? Most of the religious realm are protecting their God and defending their God. And that's what St. Paul was doing. Of course, his name was Saul at the time. Don't bug me about your God because I have my religion. I have the truth, you don't, so bug off. Amen?
Amen?
Now, you'll hear the same words coming from the body of Christ and believers in different parts of the body of Christ. And yet they both advertise they're right. Where's the problem? It's the same mad dog syndrome. Pride and fear. What if I didn't do it right? I got to defend what I've learned because if I don't, I'm going to fail because my heart's going to be wounded again and I can't handle getting one more rejection. Amen? I've lived it. I've watched it. I've seen it. What do? We pray and intercede that God will give them freedom. And when they get that freedom, they'll look more like you than you realize. Amen? Because the heart of Christ Jesus will be formed when you release compassion. And you're going to release it by the same Holy Ghost that released into that little pooch on the side of the sidewalk that was upset with me. That's the reality of praying for creation to be changed. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to all the ends of the earth. Ha ha ha! It even reached us. Colossians 1:23 confirms it. And Revelations 14:6 is the last verse I want to give you. Revelations 14:6, then I saw another angel flying in midair. And he had the eternal gospel, not the part-time gospel, not the right gospel, the eternal one, the one that started off in eternity, which is Christ. Proclaim to all who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Does that leave everybody in? Or everybody? Does it leave everybody in? Yes, it does. Do we leave anybody out? No, we don't. So when the word of life come into your heart and you've got an unbeliever next to you, such as I had a couple of times this week, this person is a very religious Saul. And this person was kind of angry at the world. And especially the news of the day. And the news of the day was an irritation. And, you know, this was this and that was that. And, well, none of it makes sense. And I used to believe in this one and now I don't. And blah, blah, blah. And so I'm saying to the Lord, okay, this is my anointed time, isn't it? How many know when you're it? I was tagged by the Lord and I had to be it. So I just released the word. And I said, okay, God, I'd like to see the fruit after I gave out the word. So I gave out the word. And several areas were touched. And the areas are not important. It's just several scriptures were released. And 2 days later, the same person says, you know, I talked about you to my boss. He doesn't even know my name. Is it important that he knows my name? It's important that the word was released to the next level. Amen? And there was a word of life that he was able to carry to one more person. I don't care how God touches that person, but it's important that I found out 2 days later. What did I do? All I did was just give out. You don't know what you give. You don't know when you give. Just obey. That's the bottom line, isn't it? And when you obey, there will be fruit. And when it's time for God to confirm His word to you, you'll hear about it in some fashion, way, or form. And sometimes you'll be surprised. My God, He used me. He used me to change one person. And it boomerangs, it touches a few others. That's our God. Go back to chapter 42. I want you to see verse 6. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, of a light for the Gentiles, to open the eyes of the blind, to free captives from prison, to release from the dungeons those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and a new thing I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Before I announce them to you, before they take place, prophetic revelation. How does it come? It comes in a multitude of ways. It may come by an impression. It may come by a revelation of a word that you might get. It may come by a small vision, sometimes just a snap vision. Sometimes he'll use the one you're very angry with to reveal something about yourself that you don't like. He may use someone outside the kingdom to wake you up and shatter your expectations. Yeah, it may be a child that might wake you up more than anything else. God loves to use the mind of the little child to baffle your big fat wisdom and break down your pillars that you've constructed. Nobody's going to touch my heart. After all, I've been wounded too many times. And then he uses something just so extraordinary, and you say, oh, he did it again. He sneaked in when I wasn't looking. Would you put your Bibles down, please, and I want you to stand. We need to pray. We need to ask God for grace to give out the words of life. So if you got somebody close by, join hands. Father, we come to you as children of the light. And we believe with you today that the heart of the Lord has been formed in us in deeper degrees than we've known in the past. And we're asking for more, that you would release in us an ability to give out grace and words of life.